What's up, everybody? Welcome to Neighborly Discourse with Billy and Steve.
What's up?
I am Billy.
And I'm Steve.
Steve, we're getting right into it.
Yes, I am.
We've got no time for nonsense.
What, 5-1? Baltimore? Home field is a big deal in Buffalo. That cold weather, it helps.
I'm glad you listened.
Got to get back to the first seed. Got to get the run game.
I threw you off. I knew I did. Because I know we're going to get heavy today, but before we did...
We're going to get heavy on one thing.
Right.
But
before we did, I wanted some levity. Because I want to make this clear to everybody. I don't watch football. Okay? And progressively... Well, let me make this clear. For a long time, I watched football.
Yeah.
It was my number one sport. Without question. A series of events happened that changed that and made basketball my number one sport. But for a long time, most of my life, football has been my number one sport. Now, most recently, so I would say within the last 5 years, my pattern, or maybe the last 10 years, my pattern started changing where I started watching less and less, but it was still my number one sport. Within the last 5 years, I've been watching less and less and less. Within the last 2 years, forget about it. It's like it's off the radar. And just to give you a little kudos, I was talking to a guy at church the other day, and he said, "Hey, you guys do a sports show?" And I told him, "No, actually, it's 10 Minutes with Billy, and Billy does all that stuff." And I said, "You, at the time, he hasn't listened to it. His son was listening to it, right?
Okay.
And, but I said, you'll enjoy it. I said, remember that time when I brought up football?" And then he said, "Oh, yeah. When Billy... Oh, what's the phrase? When Billy read you or something like that, where you
schooled you.
Schooled me, yeah. Well, yeah. Billy schooled you." I said, yeah. I said, "Well, you know Billy knows his stuff, right?" So anyway, I say all that to say this, that I don't watch football, but I enjoy listening to you. Literally. And I'm not, and this is not a fanboy, guys. This
let's say that could be the goal then, because everybody can look online and see who won the game.
Of course.
You can read the stats. And I even think I said in this one that I did today. I'm not reading you stats. Not reading you. I'm just trying to tell you what I saw.
Exactly.
And maybe you see the same thing or see something different. And to your point, what you just played about Lamar Jackson, I've been saying all season long, teach him the court, teach him the throw. He doesn't need to run on every play. If you teach him how to be a quarterback, he could be nearly unstoppable.
Right.
And so with some bias, yesterday or the day before, I saw a meme on the internet that had Justin Herbert's numbers and
Jackson
numbers.
Okay.
They were, I would say, 99% identical.
Now, didn't Herbert have a bad game?
This is before that.
Okay.
There was 99% identical numbers. And I commented, "Yeah, but one of these guys is far better than the other one," with Herbert.
Okay.
And I still believe that way. But what I saw the other day was Jackson looks better. If they give him a good game plan, he can execute it. He can throw. He's not a great passer, but he's getting the ball down the field.
Is he above average?
I wouldn't say so, no.
No?
No, because something about numbers, I'm going to look this up and maybe talk about it in the next 10 minutes with Billy.
Okay.
Justin Herbert's average pass attempt, I would say, is 10-plus yards.
Okay.
I don't think Jackson's is.
Hmm.
Now, he puts the ball deep more than most players, but I don't think he completes them. He overshoots a lot of people.
Okay.
So that's why numbers can be skewed. He's averaging, 20 yards a pass. You dump it off to the running back. He takes a screen 30 yards. It's a 1 yard play that counts as a 20 yard pass.
So what
Jackson has a bunch of those.
So my thing about Jackson, and again, this is coming from a guy who doesn't watch football. What is it about Jackson that made them take a chance and say, "I want this as my first round pick"?
Because he runs like a 4-1.
So strictly because
if he gets to the side. Well, because in college, he's throwing all over the place.
Okay.
But you're playing against college kids who are the best high school kids.
Okay.
It's different in the NFL. His passes are okay. He doesn't leave the receiver. They sit down in the zone. But that's how their offense is. Like a couple of times yesterday or this weekend.
So he's not forced to anticipate throws.
No. He hits the guys in the open zone.
Got it.
Then they turn around and they go. And
Got
then
it.
He can take off.
Got it.
So he looked good yesterday. I'm not concerned about him having to win the big game. If they get a lead and he has to pass to come back, that's where I'm skeptical. But keeping in the game.
You mean if they're behind?
Yeah, if they're behind. They got to come up. I'm skeptical of his ability to come back passing.
Okay.
But as long as they're close and they can stay within their game plan, I mean, it's going to be a hard team to beat.
So listen, there's something that you said, but because you know I was picking up my lawnmower, so I
Yeah.
Because I was moving around, I couldn't rewind and we had to hurry up and come record right now. You said something that sounded like a contradiction. And I was like, man, I got to call you on this just so you can explain this to me.
Yeah.
You said it was a 4th and 2, and this is Buffalo.
Yeah.
And you said, was the call good or was it bad? And
it
you said
both.
It was both.
It was both.
And so for whatever reason, I didn't get it. So can you explain it to me just so I can understand?
It's the end of the game, 15 seconds left. It's 4th and less than a yard.
Okay.
Statistically, you should make that play almost every time. Okay. You have a big quarterback. You have a decent banging running back, Zach Moss, if need be. It is a good call if you make it. It's also a bad call if you don't make it. I mean, not to say like Monday morning quarterback, hindsight 2020. There's only 15 seconds left in the game. It's a good play. He should get it. Even with 15 seconds left in the game, he should have got it. Because Tennessee's offense scored in the last 6 drives. So if you go to overtime, you may think, man, they're going to get the ball and march right down. So it's a good play, but it's a bad play. Like that's the best way I can explain it.
But this is my thing.
If you kick the field goal, go to overtime, and Tennessee gets the ball, you may not get it back.
Oh, okay. So then that's what I was missing. Because they could have kicked the field goal.
And tied the game.
To go to overtime.
And gone to overtime.
Okay.
So and then you could have gotten the ball, and you could have driven down, you could have kicked the field goal. You could
I
have
missed
done all that.
I missed that
yeah.
part. Okay. I understand now.
Because I'm a believer, and you can make the right play, and still not. It still should not pan out. Or you can make the wrong play, and it does pan out. My opinion, even before that, they should have gone for the field goal. Even though it should have been, it was almost a guaranteed. Josh Allen is 6'5". He should have gotten one inch.
He said centimeters. He said 4th and
but
centimeters.
But he fell. He literally, his foot slid, and he went straight down. He got no momentum whatsoever.
Wow.
Now, as you heard on the podcast, use this as a learning experience. You need a run game. Like, Baltimore doesn't have studs. But they run the ball more than anybody in the league, and they're doing a very good job of it.
But I would say this, and listen, guys, I'm sorry that we're football heavy, but we'll get into some stuff.
Oh, that's on them. Listen, you're listening. We talk about it all.
I want to get into this. I want to understand something. New England, for years, it was like a 99.5% chance that if they did a quarterback sneak, they would get it.
Yeah, Brady under 2 yards, under 1 yard is almost a
slam dunk.
Yeah.
Regardless of running game, it was like a slam dunk.
Yeah.
So in this scenario, it seemed like it should be a slam dunk. Like, you know,
well, here's the thing. These athletic guys, like Brady, he takes it. His lineman goes forward. He falls behind the lineman. These athletic guys, even though it's literally a step to the left, step to the right, you lose footing. You get tripped up. That's one extra split second for the defense to come. Yeah, just go forward. That's okay. All you have to do.
Okay, so then I'll end my football conversation with this.
Yeah.
And I thought about this when we were driving. For years, in case you guys don't know this, Billy's favorite quarterback is dun dun dun
Peyton Manning.
And as far as he's concerned, Peyton Manning, you know, doesn't poop. Peyton Manning can do no wrong.
No,
right?
He can't. There's nothing he can. He is the epitome of being in the Matrix when someone plays football.
Okay,
he sees what nobody else can see.
And one of the things that gets under Billy's skin is any kind of comparison with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady.
Yes.
Okay. Which I find hilarious. And listen, I love Peyton. I really, really like Peyton Manning. You know, and he's one of my favorite quarterbacks of all times. So it's interesting that we have that same like, right? Mm-hmm. However, unlike Billy, where I like Peyton Manning, I respect and I think that Brady is one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
Here's why I like Brady. Look at Aaron Rodgers and look at Tom Brady.
Okay.
Brady is a far better football player than Aaron Rodgers is. Aaron Rodgers can throw it deeper. He's more mobile. He's all of that stuff better than Brady. He has one championship ring because he's a bad teammate. Brady will tell you from early in his career, coach calls the play, I run the play. That's it. The last week, who was it? Chris Collinsworth, somebody was talking about, man, did you hear this week that they don't even let Aaron Rodgers in when they make the game plan for this week or for any week? Duh. Peyton Manning is the only one known who has a say in the game plan. He has the playbook.
Well, in modern day quarterbacks.
Yeah, back then they all had
right,
it.
Right.
But Brady doesn't change the play. Like in New England, you have a run and a pass. And Brady says, coach calls a play, I run the play. If I see something, I'll check down to whatever. But it's got to be obvious. Brady does not go outside what it's called.
Okay.
So he runs the right play. He is a perfect teammate.
Okay. So you just gave him a lot of kudos just now. Okay.
Oh, I love Tom Brady now.
Oh, yeah.
I love him. I love him now. I didn't never not liked him. Again, okay. Manning, Bill Belichick, and Peyton Manning are the same person. They see and do what no one else can.
Right.
Brady executes the game plan.
Okay.
Manning makes up the game plan. Manning has to score at one point 35 a game because the defense is going to give up 33 a game.
Right.
He had to do it all. Brady just has to fit a system, and people go crazy. He's not a system quarterback. Brady himself will tell you he is a system quarterback. He calls the play, runs the play, that's called. No questions asked. That's why he is so good. That's why they have seven championships.
That's why he has seven championships, right?
Yeah, they have what, six?
The Bills, yeah. The Bills have six. The Patriots have six. So you took all the air out of my argument because I was going to say, come on now. You got to give Brady his due. I can't believe that he's won a Super Bowl outside of New England, and we haven't talked about it.
He went to arguably the best team he could have gone to. They had the best defense in the league of the year before.
Right.
They were almost to the playoffs with Jameis Winston throwing 28 interceptions. That team was out of there. They literally needed one piece. And what they needed was not 28 turnovers. And they got it.
Right. Well.
No, that's exactly what they had. And that's what they needed.
Well,
and they got it.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that. So there's a lot of quarterbacks who don't throw 28.
Almost all of them don't throw 20 interceptions.
So my question to you is, are you saying that any one of those quarterbacks would have done the job, got the job done?
Kind of, yes.
So now it's like a backhanded compliment.
No. I would say there are, with New England, Ryan Tannehill could have the same career Tom Brady had.
Ooh.
He doesn't make bad mistakes. Same with Brady. Brady doesn't run around and chuck up air balls for interceptions. He takes a knee and gets tagged, sack, we're done. The second the line breaks down, he throws the ball to the floor. He doesn't run around in the backfield.
So what about Bledsoe? Well, Bledsoe wasn't...
Bledsoe's a deep ball guy. If he wanted a five-yard out, he'll check down and want to throw a bomb, throw an interception. Brady, five-yard out, throws a five-yard out. That's what he does.
Hmm.
He does not go outside the play that's called. He is the ultimate team player. He fits the system. He has no ego. That's the biggest thing. Again, Aaron Rodgers, five-yard out. Every play you can, in a given game, can count Aaron Rodgers 10, 15 times, rolling to the right and chucking it deep because he doesn't let the play that's called. He'll run around till the play breaks down and then do his own thing. That's why they lose out there when it comes time to the playoffs.
So, you know, I don't follow football, but I read a lot, right?
Yeah.
And so I've been reading within the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, right before Tampa Bay played New England, there's all these articles that came out that was talking about Brady's discontent in New England.
Yeah.
Specifically because he was not involved. They basically what you just said, he was a rank and file soldier, you know, and he had no input on.
I mean, look at him now. He's in commercials, he's doing jokes, like he's all of a sudden you're seeing who Tom Brady is.
But also he is more involved in the game plan. Like this coaching staff takes his opinion seriously. So how do you feel about that? I mean, just comparing.
They take
his situation
opinion.
Now,
he doesn't call the plays. He doesn't have input. He's like, hey, this week.
He has much more input now than he did in New England.
Listen, you're reading what someone is saying. They don't know anything.
All that is poppycock.
No, because there was even a quote last year when the first couple of years when they were working stuff out, or first couple of games they were working stuff out, Arians came out and said, Brady's got to do better.
And Brady said, yeah.
He's like, you know, he's right. He's the coach. I'm the player.
Right.
That's what it is.
Right.
No, he may say, hey, listen. We're thinking about doing a pass-heavy game plan this week. You're 40 years old. How's your arm doing? I'm good, coach. Let's go. They may say, hey, we're going to do, you know, we may do more run-heavy. Okay, cool. Brady's not going to say no. It's known he's not an ego guy. Now, I just told you what you read is nonsense. I read he's not an ego guy. I say it's true. Who knows?
Right.
But it's consistent around NFL players that Brady's a cool guy, no ego, no anything. Announcers say stuff to build people up. There'd be no Brett Favre without John Madden. Brett Favre statistically is a horrible quarterback. You wouldn't want him on your team. But Brett Favre by John Madden, now the guy's a Hall of Famer.
Right, right. Okay. So we've exhausted my knowledge of football.
Go ahead, listen to that. That's, what is it called?
10 Minutes with Billy. Right.
Week 6 recap. It's about 30 minutes long, but you'll like it.
Yeah, I was going to call you on that. It's like, I looked at it, and I was like,
well, that's the joke. Listen, 10 minutes with Billy, but it ain't never going
to
be 10
minutes.
Okay,
so it's a joke. Okay, because I noticed the last two times I listened to it, football, it was like one was 28 minutes, and now this one was 30 minutes. Like, hold on a second.
Yeah, football's always going to go long because I do my best to get in as many games as I can.
Right.
I'm trying to think, like, should I shorten it down to, like, 5 main games? But no, some people may want to be a Browns fan, and may feel that the Browns should do better and want to hear me parrot that back to them, they may want to listen.
I'm going to say this before we get heavy. Someone asked me.
I'm losing weight, bro.
You see that? Thanks. I appreciate it. Oh, man, there's so much I want to say about that, but I'm not because I really want to get focused. But I want to say this because someone asked me, two people asked me when they found out, they were pretty surprised about the variety that we had. And, I was actually kind of proud of the variety that we have. I like the Triple F show with the family. That's cool. It's novel. And I think it's going to take off. And they were inquiring about me. And, well, more specifically, I've had this.
Want me to give you a jump off point?
Go ahead.
We've had this conversation, didn't make it to air. I'm not religious. I have a problem with the church.
Right.
Okay? My problem is this. Compare it to liberals. Again, not Democrats, not Republicans, to liberals. They plant their flag, yes, and they will not budge from it.
They will die on their sword.
They do not care who comes to their side, who doesn't come to their side. They're sticking to their guns over here, and they are not budging. When it comes to the church, forever, you know, you can quote me if I'm wrong, evolution is not real. Now all of a sudden it's accepted. Mm-hmm. Well, why are you changing what? Oh, we need more members. No, you don't. Get some, I don't want to say integrity.
Backbone.
Get a backbone.
Right.
This is our stance. We'll come to you if we like your stance. But they seem to want to change. They want to kind of placate everybody to get members. No, be religious. Be the church. Let them come to you. That way then you know the people you have are devout followers.
Correct.
They're not going to be wishy-washy because you're wishy-washy. That's always been an issue with me when it comes to the church. Plant your flag and stick to it. You're the church. You're Christianity, you know? Be who you are. Let us come to you. Don't sit there and make changes to placate people. That's not okay in my eyes.
And once again, Billy eloquently and efficiently made the point. And because of his point, and now I want to also say that when we first started, I'm talking about before we even released anything, we were still recording, Billy had come to me and said he wanted me to do a kind of like a 10-minute with Billy or 10-minute with Steve, but he wanted mine to be specifically a religious-based segment. He came to me and talked to me about that, and Billy had no idea that from the very beginning, like back in January or February, I felt that this was something that I was going to do and that I needed to do, that it was a call in my life to do it, but I just haven't felt ready to do it yet. And yet, this is in the back of my mind, and then Billy comes to me and says, hey, I think you need to do this. So this has been months in the works where we've talked about it, and I already understand the strategy and what it is I'm supposed to talk about, and really, it's dominated by the point that Billy just made. And I believe that I have something to say, and I'm going to turn it into a regular cast, just like 10 Minutes with Billy, like once a week, maybe drop it on a Sunday. So it's coming. I'm just putting it out there that it's coming, and so be on the lookout.
Yes.
Okay. Now let's get into this.
What do you want to get into, Steve?
I'm so upset, guys, that I have to really try to, like we said before, lay our emotions down. Just put it on the table. Let's just talk as best as possible without emotions. So this morning, we get an email from Facebook that basically said that we're banned off of Facebook.
We were not following community rules, so they suspended my account. My account has the link to our Facebook page, Neighborly Discourse with Billy and Steve. What I put on my personal page, you can say, I don't know. I have 5 or 6 friends on there. I only repost what goes on Neighborly Discourse with Billy and Steve. I'm a huge Bills fan, as everybody knows. I've been in the Bills Mafia chat the past couple days talking about Buffalo, and that's pretty much it. There's nothing political on there except for what comes from Neighborly Discourse. And we had a post rejected by them the other day for political something or other. I reworded it. It was accepted. We paid for them to send it around. At this point, 2 days in, it hit 3,000 people. Our website got 30 clicks, and it had like 15 likes on it, and I think 4 or 5 shares. So it's doing something. Is that what upset them? I don't know. Because on my personal page, There is nothing on there. Not a picture of me, not an address, not my name. It's Billy Yilib. My name backwards. Y-L-L-I-B is my last name on that on there. So I don't know what they could have put. My concern is our neighborly discourse page. We have 60-something followers, 50-something likes. It's not a lot, but those are people who get information when we post. Those are people who can share what we post. They can help us build our message. And Steve and I have talked. You guys have heard us. There is no division here. We say liberals. Now, they may take offense to that. Liberals, far right, the elites are the
leftists,
problem.
Right.
Yeah. But the rest of us, Democrat or Republican, we're cool. We're on the same page. Let's find a common ground, you know? And we've always talked about that. So even if they were to play a clip, it is not divisive by any stretch. So here I am. Here I am trying to figure this out, and I can't.
So let me jump in here for a second, because I think you're being way too nice. I absolutely know the reason that we got banned is because of our position specifically on COVID. Now, I'm gonna play this out for you for a second. They told us that we were banned, but they didn't tell us why.
Well, I got the call or the email, whatever. Your page has been shut down. Dispute it. You can wait 30 days or dispute. So obviously, I'm gonna dispute it. I dispute it. Jump through the hoops. The end of the hoops come and it says, if you are just over a day to reactivate your account, if we find you have violated the rules, you're permanently banned.
Did you hear that? So first, I want to make it clear. They banned us, and I didn't know, but it was a 30-day ban?
They gave me 30 mm-hmm. days. And so here's the thing.
They gave me 30 days for what?
Your account's suspended for 30 days.
And you could have just left it at that.
And I could have left it at that.
Okay.
And then it says, or you can dispute. So we did it with Instagram. We disputed it. They lifted it in 3 days or 6 days. It was done in three, something like that. Okay, no harm, no foul. They told me what I did wrong, or I assumed what I did wrong. Have I done it again, and we're good.
But let's clarify that. What did we do wrong?
I think I was on a post, and I posted our link to our podcast like 3 times in a row.
Right, so understand
like
this.
Like spamming, so to speak.
Right. That's what happened. We didn't get – when we got shut down on Instagram, it wasn't because of anything we said. It was because Billy was on another platform trying to promote our show.
So I think they got us for
using
spamming.
Instagram, so that's why we got – okay, cool.
So with this, it says you can review it. That's all it says. So I hit okay, dispute it, go and review. Then comes, if you're found whatever, you're going to get a permanent ban. So, well, hold on a second.
I know. So listen, set it up. I mean, listen to this. They first say that you're banned 30 days. They don't tell us why.
Yeah, there's nothing on
that,
there.
That is the incredulous part
about
this.
It says community rules, but the community rules are we want to give everybody a voice, but we want to make sure you're authentic. So my hope is they want to make sure we're authentic. We are who we say we are as far as guys who talk in a podcast.
Right.
I'm trying to be the glass half full guy.
I'm not. This is censorship 101 as far as I'm concerned. But they ban us and they don't tell us why. If they told us specifically, you posted X and this was against our rules, at least we can say, okay, we see what we did.
And we'll even pull the post down.
Yeah. And whether we agree with it or not, okay, we understand and we can move forward. But the ambiguousness in how they banned us without explanation is shocking. Okay. I'm going to go somewhere with this, but that's a starting point. But then the second thing is when they say that we're off for 30 days and now Billy just clarified it for me, it's like, do nothing for 30 days. Accept our punishment without explanation and nothing. And in 30 days, you can come back. And we didn't even know this. The or part that I'm telling you right now, we didn't even know. There's a button that says review or dispute. I'm not sure what the word is.
Was it review the decision.
Okay, review the decision. You click on that button, basically thinking like, okay, maybe if I click on this button, I get more information. What do they say? They say, okay, we're going to review it. But because you chose to go this route, instead of just sitting out for 30 days, because you chose to go this route, if we find you in violation, you will be permanently banned. That is a big pill to swallow. That is a huge pill to swallow. And I want to try to unpack this for you in a second. One of my good friends, he had texted me about antibodies and stuff like that. And something that I really want to talk about, but we don't have time in the show. So we're going to stay focused on this. And, you know, we went back and forth. He showed me a video by PBS that validated a lot of what we say on this show. And in that communication, we went back and forth. I said, hey, by the way, we got banned from Facebook. And his response to me was, he was sympathetic towards Facebook. Not that he necessarily agreed with them, but he was sympathetic towards them because he said, listen, they have algorithms with AIs. They might get it wrong sometimes, yada, yada, yada. And then I said, hold on. To my response to him was, and listen, the reason I'm sharing this with you is because there might be some of you guys who are listening to us who sympathize or empathize with Facebook and who don't see how big of a problem this really is. And I want to try to, without emotions, just walk through this for a second so that it can be crystal clear how big a problem this is. So my friend said what he said, and I replied to him. I said, it doesn't matter. Why? I don't care about algorithms, and I don't care that they might get it wrong sometimes. Why would they even be censoring? Period. It doesn't matter what I say. They shouldn't be censoring. He gave me an example of someone in his life who has some medical problems, and he's a flat earther. And he says, and I said, okay, and are you telling me that I am not, I don't have enough sensibility of my own to be able to hear someone make an argument about flat earth and reject it? Are you concerned that his flat earth argument is so strong that he's going to take all the world with him and they're going to believe that it's flat earth? Really? That's the argument? Mm-hmm. I don't care what he says. He can say the devil rules. He can say communism is the best. He can say abortion is should be legal and should be free. He can say anything and everything that he wants to say. It's my sensibilities that's going to decide whether I accept it or don't accept it. I don't need this intermediary to say, oh, Steve, you shouldn't be listening to this.
Yeah, you're a big boy. You can make your own
decisions. Yeah, I'm an adult. I can make my own decisions. But they're treating me. Think about it. It's like my child, I'm telling them they can't listen to music. My children, I'm telling them they can't listen to music that has profanity in it. That's because I'm the parent and I get to dictate that to them. But once they're 18, 19, 20, now that they're adults, can you imagine me? Now, I could suggest to them, hey, I don't think you should be listening to that. But can you actually see me as this overlord coming and snatching their phones off their hands for listening to things with profanity? That's unacceptable. And if you can see that picture, if you can see that analogy I just gave you about a parent telling an adult what they can and cannot do and how ridiculous and preposterous that sounds, that's exactly what's happening right now with Facebook and all these entities where they are saying, you're not intelligent enough. You're not smart enough to understand when someone's lying to you.
Yeah, and what they're saying is they know what's best for you.
They know what's best for you.
Elitist mindset.
This is a problem, guys.
They don't allow free thinkers. It's a huge problem.
It's so bad in so many levels where anybody can patronize you in such a way that as an adult, I can't make my own decisions.
Yeah, and think about what we said earlier. We have 60 plus followers, 50 plus likes. Together, that's barely over 100 people, and they're stopping us now. Like, we're not reaching a huge mass of people. We're just, and the stuff we put on there, like I said, it's, you know, the media doesn't always lie. Not all politicians lie. You know, just change the channel once in a while. If you follow the R, check out what the D is saying. You know,
if you follow the D, check out what the R is saying.
Yeah, like it's stuff like that. Even, like I said, we had one on there that we had to change because I wrote on about, like, you know, New York and California and those states. Those people are leaving there and coming to Florida and Texas and those states. And I said, you know, if it doesn't pertain to you, like, you're leaving those states for a reason. If what you don't like policy-wise doesn't pertain to you, ignore it. And I put on there the abortion law for Texas because a lot of people from California are going to Texas. If you're 35, 45, and the abortion law most likely doesn't apply to you, don't vote that way because you're leaving those states because they have high taxes and they have lockdown orders. where these states don't have them. If it doesn't directly pertain to your life, to a certain extent, why do you care about it? Why?
Well, anyway,
so I had to cut all that out. I had to take away the conservative states, take away liberal states, take away abortion laws. I had to take all that out of the post.
He had to make it very generic.
And then they approved it.
Okay. Now, oddly enough, what I wanted to talk about in this show was that post. Oddly enough.
Talk about it.
No, I can't. I got to stay focused because I'm only giving you part A of this conversation, of this outrageous thing that happened with Facebook. But we will. The next time we meet, we'll talk about it. But so number one is some overlord telling me what I can and cannot do, what I can and cannot process mentally. That is so unacceptable. But here's a second argument that my friend made, and that was that Facebook is a private company. So by us saying that Facebook can't set the terms for what they will and will not allow, it's no different than the argument that I'm making, which is like, how dare you suppress my free speech? So my friend was making an argument that Facebook should have their own free speech as well and their own tolerance level. And there might be some of you guys who listen to this and say, huh, I agree with that. Or, I never thought about that, but that makes sense. But here's the counter argument to it. And listen to me carefully. This country, there's a few things that separate this country from any other country in the world before us, during our time, and since us. Hear me. We are unique. There is no equivalent to the United States. And what makes us unique is the fact that in our framework, we have written in, built in, that says that the rights that we have does not come from government. The rights that we have come from God. That is built into our, and those rights, it doesn't matter if you believe in God or not. But our founder said that it's from God. And one of those rights is free speech. The ability to speak freely without suppression. Now, we're in a situation where something that is enshrined in our founding documents, and these documents, this is like the Bible. Our country is run by the Bible, the Constitution, not the Bible, but the Constitution. And all this is written from the Bill of Rights to the last amendment in the Constitution. That's how our country is run, by this document. So our government can't even suppress us, because at the very beginning it says where that they don't have the authority to suppress us. It comes from God. So they can't do it, but now what they do is that they have an agency. They created a foreign agency that's not even elected by us, and they have this agency bidding their will. It's as if I was a mafioso guy. I'm running a mafia, and I hire henchmen to go do my dirty work for me. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening right now. And if you don't believe it, this, go back on your own and on YouTube, look up Psaki. I forgot her first name, but she's the spokesperson, Jen Psaki, who's and it's spelled with a P, who's the spokesperson for the White House press secretary. And Google something to the effect of Psaki, Facebook, and Instagram taking down COVID ads or COVID posts. And you will hear her say in her own voice that they have given these social media platforms information about sites who are spreading disinformation about COVID, and they want them taken down. This is Jen Psaki. She's the mouthpiece of the White House, and this is what she's saying. So when I say that these social media are acting as agents for the government, this, in fact, right now, Donald Trump has a lawsuit against them because this is actually written in our Constitution that it's illegal, that the government can't do these acts and they can't subcontract these acts. If it's illegal for the government cannot have other agents do their dirty work for them. And we're under this right now. We're under this oppression right now. And it's so important that we see it. We have crystal clear eyes when it comes to this subject. And this is the last point that I make. You have these anti-fascists out there. They called Trump fascist, 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 fascist. Why did he call Trump fascist? Because he kept saying fake news, fake news. He kept disputing what the news was saying. Now, whether you agree with that or not, whether you agree or not with the fact that the news that was coming out was fake or not, we're not even going to argue that. But the point I'm making is that all he was saying is that he was highlighting the fact that you cannot trust what the news is saying. That's it. He did nothing. No legislative action, no executive order. He did nothing in his power to change how news was coming out, other than finding a vehicle for himself to be able to speak for himself without it being filtered by the news. That's all he did. But no action did he take against the news. But yet they were calling him a fascist. I want you to go look up the word fascism and understand the system of government that fascism is. In fact, if you can, if you have like half an hour to spend, go look up Italy and Mussolini, mm-hmm. where fascism was in full bloom, and you can actually see what fascism is. And at the simplest way of explaining it to you is when you suppress information from those whom you disagree. When you're in power and you are able to suppress the information from those you disagree, that is fascism. And right now, we are living in a state where very, very powerful people who are working at the behest of the government, who are de facto government agents, are suppressing what we can say. This is a big deal. This is freaking scary. Everything. Half the country does not agree with the mandate. Half the country. Half the country is being silenced. They're being silenced. This is the state of our affairs right now. And these agents are protected. We can't even go after them. I was sharing this with my friend. I said, we can't even go after them. They're protected by the government. The government who's subcontracting the suppression has also gave them legal protection. So we as citizens cannot even go after them.
I'm listening, man, but we just got another email that the ID we submitted is still not good enough.
I'm telling you.
I don't know. We submitted two of Steve's IDs to get back on, and they're saying, you know, you need a better ID. I don't know what other ID they need.
I gave him two federal IDs.
Yeah,
two
none federal of my IDs. Information is on there. There's not a single picture of me on there. There's not a single thing to where I live, the state I live. Like, everything about me is not on that page. It is a blank page. And they're saying that we can't get on. And my issue is the Facebook page. That's got stuff on it. Now, again, I transferred it over. So they're still – but the few things I posted today did not make it on there. So I'm not sure if we're going to be able to do that again.
So I'm getting off my soapbox for this show.
Well, no, what you said is true you need to realize like fascists, they tell you what to say and do. And they're calling Trump this, Trump that. Look at what's happening. Like the people who were calling people fascists, they are the fascists. Like notice that, please.
We are – all I care about right now is that you guys understand. However many listeners do we have, I just care that you understand, that you recognize what's happening. Just like our last episode when I talked about the Mark of the Beast and how things are setting up for the Mark of the Beast right now. Again, you can use this suppression of information as a form, as another checkbox, another checkbox being checked that we're heading down this direction. And the United States is the only country that's free speech is actually protected. Look what's going on in Australia. Australia, they're locking people up. Canada. They're locking people up. There's a reason why people want to come to this country.
Yeah.
But I just want to leave you with this, and that is, open your eyes. Don't be naive. Don't play into it. Don't stick your head in the sand and think that, okay, it's going to work out. Because it's not going to work out. If we, the people, won't stand up and say enough is enough. Like, Billy, I don't know if I told you this, but I'm registering right now through the Republican Party to be a delegate for Florida. It's to me, it's just step one in multiple steps that I'm willing to take to get our country back. I'm willing to put myself out on the front line on this. That's how important it is. Because if we don't do it, if we don't draw the line in the sand, draw the line in the sand and say, enough is enough. Then when the revolutionaries, when they decided to go against England, they knew that either they won or it would be death for them all. They knew it. George Washington, the founding fathers, the first army, they knew that either we win this or we all will die. And that's where I feel that we are right now. Either we stand and fight, we recognize the opposition. And the opposition isn't Republican, Democrat. It's not that. It's not a political party. It's the elitists. And so I'm calling especially on the Democrats, because these elitists, a lot of them are on your side, although we have those on the rights, but a lot of them are on your side. I'm calling on you to open up your eyes and recognize what's going on. Because after they're done with us, they're coming for you.
That's very true. They don't know when to stop. They don't do enough is enough.
It's total capitulation. Look at California. California, I mean, they are so mismanaged. They are destroying their economy, and they don't care. And yet the people re-elects the very individual, the very personification of destroying my society in Gavin Newsom. They re-elect them when they had the opportunity to make a change. That's a microcosm what's happening right now in our country. And I'm saying, wake up, Americans. That's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, I'm just over here trying, I'm reading. Like, I don't, there's no send back, contact us. There's nothing. It just comes from no reply. You know, your ID is not good. I mean, you send in a driver's license, you send in a concealed permit license, like you send in a license that are real. Like, it's ridiculous. And the thing is, like, I'm almost to the point where, you know, screw it. It's 50 people. Yes, it's a lot. It's good 50 people that we have. And we can start over again. But what's the point of starting over again? Nothing is going to change about what we put out, because we don't know what we put out. So to what they're probably trying to do
is discourage us.
Yeah, just screw it. We're not going to tell them what not to put, so they can think it's all bad or all good, and we can shut them down again. And that's a problem. All you got to do is say what's not good, and we take it down.
Think about
or reword it, because they're gonna try to censor us. You just have to reword what you're trying to say, and hopefully the people out there are smart enough to read what you put in there.
Think, going back to the analogy with the parent and the child, think about punishing your kid without telling him why he's being punished. Think about how ludicrous that sounds. Go to your room. Okay, what did I do? I don't want to talk to you. Just go to your room. That night he spends in his room. The next day, hey dad, you sent me to my room, but you never told me why.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
No, you got to know what you did wrong to change what you did. And that's the point of mistakes, to learn from them.
Imagine how that child will be walking on pins and needles, because they're not going to, the uncertainty of what is it that I did that's going to get me sent to my room again. Imagine that. And the very fact that I have to make that analogy about a parent and a child disgusts me, because I'm an adult and I don't need a police state telling me what I can and cannot do.
Yes.
But if you can understand, if you can see the rationale between how unthinkable it would be for a parent to do that to a child, you can see what I'm saying to you about these social media platforms who can just indiscriminately shut you down without explanation. Anyway.
And on a lighter note,
go ahead,
ladies and gentlemen, if you guys share this stuff, we wouldn't have to be worrying about Amen. Facebook. Yeah, we're still on Instagram. We're trying to figure out locals. That's something new. Oddly enough, Twitter hasn't. Well, Twitter shut us down in the beginning, but they let us back on. Instagram shut us down. They let us back on. Let's hope third time's a charm. They let us back on. And, you know, we go from there. But we're doing all of this stuff to get it out to people. You can share it. You have the opportunity to say, hey, get in a text message. Hit that little box with the arrow. Send it to a friend. Have them send it to a friend. Our job, what I wrote on here to someone asked me the other day, how, why are you doing this? I'm like, well, we want to be part of the solution to the problem in our country. And that's our stance. There's a problem. And we're trying to be part of the solution, not the solution, part of one. So you join this group and that community and they share your stuff and you share their stuff. And the more people get that information and we become part of the solution to the problem. And that's our goal. So please share this stuff. We're still on Instagram. We're still on Twitter. Go to Locals. We're all on Locals at NeighborlyD on Locals, Twitter and underscore discourse, and Instagram, Neighborly underscore discourse. We still have those.
And our website. Don't forget our website.
Our website, neighborlydiscourse.com. It links to the podcast. And unfortunately, there's links to our social media pages that we may not be able to get on anymore, but we'll find that out later. But those have episodes on there. You can listen to the episodes, comment on those episodes, share those episodes with other people. Our goal is to get the word out. Like I said, for the 18th time, we're trying to be part of the solution to the problem in our country, and we need your help to do so.
Amen.
Enjoy your day.
Peace.